Hallelujah.
Just touch somebody and say, God's got a plan, and you're going to miss that mess. I know what it looks like right now, but God's still got a plan. And his plan is that you miss the mess. God is about to give you your greatest opportunity. Now, it will attract hell's greatest opposition. But right in the middle of it, God has destined that you're going to miss the mess. I don't think some of you understand. There's something down the road that the devil has scheduled. That call in the middle of the night that your son is in jail again. You miss that mess. That doctor's report about that lump in your breast being cancer and quickly spreading, and you've got 3 months to live, have to die, and cannot live. You can miss that mess. Your children waking up in the middle of the night with an earache, you miss that mess. The divorce court, that gets messy, doesn't it? You miss that mess. Yes, you can. Getting told when you're 45 years old that you've got glaucoma and within 3 years you're going to be blind. No, you can miss that mess. You miss that cataract surgery. You can miss that automobile accident. Yes, you can. You can miss that tornado striking your house. Yeah, it'll hit everybody else on the block but miss you, because you can miss that mess. God's going to give you an opportunity. You ready? Be seated, because we got a long way to go and a very short time to get there. We're in 1 Samuel, chapter number 12, and verse 23. These words, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." It seems that the greatest weapons in our arsenal are today under attack. I went through just a few of them with you on last week. Let me just reiterate them very quickly for you. For it was John Wesley, the originator of that great Methodist renewal or revival or renovation, many would say, where holiness came to the forefront. And when holiness came to the forefront, it came on the burdened back of prayer. So we could say that Wesley was a revivalist, not necessarily of Methodism, but of prayer, because they were methodical about their prayer. Let me say this. Wesley made this statement. Said Wesley, "I do not fear that the people called Methodists," where we could insert, "people of prayer will ever disappear or cease to exist. But I do fear," said he, "that in existing they become a dead sect, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. If prayer," said Wesley, "is ever overthrown, it will be at the hands of our scholars and our preachers, who neither believe her doctrines nor practice her principles. It is from these men," said he, "that we must cleanse ourselves, or we will surely fall by our own weight." And so we understand that great weapons today are under attack. The Bible is under attack. I'm going to say it again. The Bible is under attack. One noted theologian stood up and said that the "thus saith the Lord" of those that speak from the pulpit is of a little higher type than the whirling of ancient medicine men. Excuse me, Dr. So-and-so, but I need to tell you the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. It is the oak of God planted in the forest of eternity, entwining its roots around the rock of ages. And far better men and women than you and I have pillowed their head on it in their dying hours. Shout, "I believe in the Bible." It's being attacked today. The blood is being attacked today. Harry Fosdick, he declared, "I am a liberal in theology. Of course, I do not believe in the virgin birth, nor in the old-fashioned doctrine of substitutionary atonement, nor do I know any intelligent Christian minister who does. His colleague stood up beside him and said, "Why do we speak of the death of Jesus of Nazareth? He is not the central theme of our religion. Why do we not rather speak of the death of Emerson or Socrates or Immanuel Kant? One might just as well speak of the wool of the lamb as to speak of the blood. I've got to make an announcement. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fountain, no. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If you believe in the cleansing power of one spotless drop of a Canaan king from Calvary's rugged brow, shall I believe? But there are weapons that are great and they are being attacked. But our greatest weapon is not being attacked. It is rather being ignored. Professor Insulin of the Harvard School of Theology stood up and declared, "Why not use a prayer wheel with Vanna White in an evening gown?" Said he, "We go through the motions and the rudiments of prayer, but we cannot and we must not expect results." Said he, "Prayer is doomed." Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that bids me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress, I'm trying to find a witness. In seasons of distress, I gotta find somebody that understands distress. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. I still have a Bible that says you have not because you ask not. I still have a Bible that says ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Seek and you shall find. I still have a Bible that declares this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And because we know he hears us, we know with steadfast confidence and assurance that we have granted to us for our present possession those things whatsoever we have asked him for. You'll have to excuse me just a moment, because I still have a Bible that says, "Call unto me and I shall answer thee, and I shall show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." I'm about to shout. Let me remind you that I still have a Bible that says, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things that he saith, shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith." Therefore, what things soever you desire when you pray. Not if you pray, when you pray. Believe. You receive them and you shall have them. I'm trying to talk to you about your greatest opportunity to miss the mess. I'm trying to tell you that when the devil's got a plan to take you out, God's got a plan to keep you in. And that plan is rooted deep in the bedrock of prayer. Yeah. God bares his arm and flexes his muscle to the man or woman who bends their knee. The greatest weapon in our arsenal is not being attacked, it's being ignored. Prayer is doomed? I think not. Prayer moves heaven. angels withdraw their swords from their clattering sheaths to the man or woman who bends their knee. Heaven is moved. The heart of God is turned by the power of prayer. Demons are silent when you pray. Principalities are put in their place when you pray. Sickness must bow its knee when you bow your knee. Poverty must disappear when you pray. I'm telling you something that's easy. If I was telling you something that's difficult, you all would do it. I'm here to tell you today that you can move heaven in 15 minutes of prayer. I'm here to tell you that principalities and powers are dethroned by the power of prayer. If you're sick, pray. If you're discouraged, pray. If they're coming to repossess your house, pray. If you're bound by chains, pray. If you're addicted, pray. Prayer is not doomed. Prayer moves heaven and prayer moves earth. And the devil gets drowned in the undertow of prayer. Sings and hell shrinks when you pray. What an opportunity to miss the mess. What an opportunity to miss the nervous breakdown that the devil's already got scheduled for you. Just miss the mess. What an opportunity. I went on a little 24-hour trip with my family this week. And we got in that new motorhome, and down the road we went with me at the wheel. And before we left home, I said, here now, let's just pray. God promised we'd have angelic intervention if we'd pray. God promised we could have divine revelation if we prayed. I'm going down the highway. I got a semi here and a semi here. And out of nowhere comes some guy listening to his headsets and bebopping down the road in a little tiny red car, shoots across three lanes of traffic right in front of me. I stood up on those brakes. Joni flew 39 feet from the back of that thing all the way up into the windshield of the thing, and that thing stopped on a dime. I don't know how. Yes, I do know how. I said there's power in prayer. Prayer is not doomed. We're going to fight for it. Prayer is not doomed unless we ignore it. We're going to stand in the gap for it. We're going to be those that lift up our hands and pray. We're going to be those that bow our knee and pray. What inestimable damage has been done in your life because I did not pray? What have I been required to walk through because you did not pray? I've got to hurry. Here it is. God forbid that I should sin. That word frightens me. That word should make the hair on the back of the neck of every believer stand up straight. That word should send coursing through your mind that prayer of David. Lord, reveal to me the hidden sin of my heart. Sin. What is it? Sin with the power to separate you from God. Sin biteth like a serpent. Sin like a mouth full of gravel. Sin, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Sin. The wages of sin is death. In a place of separation, in a place of darkness, hurling and falling helplessly and hopelessly through the endless ages of eternity into the darkened bowels of the devil's abyss, hearing the howls and the cackles and the screams of horror. Hell. Sin. Sin. Black as midnight. Say the word today from America's pulpits, and most of the people sitting in the pews have no conception that of which you speak. We've had so much greasy grace, loosey-goosey, just getting in a pew so I can count you gospel. Sin. I asked the Lord in the middle of the night, what is it? And as quickly as I could write, he began to share with me, sin. It's the cut of a knife. It's the fear in a scream. Sin. It's the hollowness of an empty stomach in Sudan. It's the snobbery of pride. It's the clutch of cancer. It's the malice of murder. It's the clamor of war. It's the helplessness of divorce. It's an epidemic called AIDS. It's the blank stare in the face of the homeless. It's the dollar bill in the pocket of the abortion doctor. Sin! The one thing we all have in common. The one thing nobody wants to talk about. Sin. What is it? It's the fear of the past, the present, and the future. It's the sob of a little girl alone in her bedroom, nursing a bruised cheek, slapped by an angry daddy. Sin. What is it? It's federal penitentiaries. It's the arguing of husbands and wives. It's lying and cheating. It's the deceitfulness of earthly security. It's stealing and heresy, insanity and prejudice. It's suicide and the occult. It's the New Age deceit. It's pagan religion and religious tradition. It's demon possession. God forbid that I should not sin by failing. Pray. Neglect has a penalty. Let me say it again. Neglect has a penalty. I cannot escape my responsibility. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. You may not have had an abortion, but my question is deeper than that. Did your prayer stop one? You may not have cheated on your wife, but what preacher has vanished from a pulpit with a clarion call for the nation because you did not pray? You may not have murdered, but did your prayer stop any? You. Let me go on. You may not be involved in the occult. But you're a teacher. And one of your students has painted his fingernails black, dyed his hair as black as a raven, powdered his face white, and has stuck underneath the mattress of his little twin bed at home every kind of occult manifesto known to the human race. And he's just about to slip over the brink and commit suicide. My question to you is, did your prayer stop him? Sin, it's the whispering of friends. Talking about your telephone. With the same tongue, we bless God and curse men. It's teenage pregnancy. It's the driving chains of homosexual spirits and lesbianism. Well, I'm not a homosexual. What homosexual did you set free by your prayer? Neglect has a penalty. I cannot escape my responsibility. Greatest sin of the church is not adultery. It's not teen pregnancy. Prayerlessness. God forbid that I should sin by failing to pray for you. Psalm 133, quickly. Psalm 133. Here it is. Oh God, I have so much. Psalm 133. Just these words. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious, cross that word outright, costly. It's like the costly ointment, cross that word outright, anointing. It's like the costly anointing upon the head that ran down into the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down into the skirts of his garment as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded his blessing, even life forevermore. Here it is. Costly. What is its price? The price of prayer. How much will that anointing cost you? It will cost you prayer. I'm going to ask. Because it is fully God's intention for you to miss the mess. Let me just ask you. Ronnie, take a microphone. Turn this microphone on. Tell me, if you can, just tell me the one singular thing that you've walked through that broke your heart. Tell me something.
When the doctor looked at me and said that my baby could not live.
The doctor looked at you, stand up, Stephanie, and said your baby will die and could kill you as well. What a dark moment. What a horrific time. I just wonder, could I have spared you that? Tell me a dark day. Give them a microphone. Tell me a dark day. I feel the Holy Ghost. Tell me a dark, dark day. You what? What is that? Inflammation. A disease causing inflammation of the linings of the rib cage, causing you horrific pain, weeping and crying. I wonder, did she go through that because you didn't pray? Do you see? No wonder the devil will let you have all the little leagues you want. As many people sitting in pews as you can gather. Light shows and singing. But call a prayer meeting. Today, my sister, 2 years my elder, lays in a bed. The great news, after nearly 45 days in intensive care, the good news that we got yesterday was that she was able to lift her foot in the bed, lift her toes. That had, those of you that understand medicine know that when death sets in, your feet won't stay like that. They bend down all the way to the bed. So have hers been for 45 days. Yesterday she was able to lift them an inch or two, her toes, off the bed. She had another heart attack this past Friday. It's her fifth. She had her second, third, fourth heart surgery, scheduled for another open heart surgery. Right now she lays there, her shoulder is broken, her wrist is broken, her ribs are broken. I wonder how much of that my family's going through because you didn't pray. What? The warning is not against singing. Your Bible does not say, God forbid that I should sin against him by failing to sing. The Bible does not declare, God forbid that I should sin against you by failing to preach. I must say it again. Neglect has a penalty. Peter, prayed for 10 days and preached for 10 minutes. Today we preach for 10 days and pray for 10 minutes. No wonder we have so many failures. Oh, lift up your countenance. Yesterday is past.
I speak to you of the opportunity of tomorrow. How many souls are in hell because we failed to pray? Let us not look to the past. Let us look to the future. How many souls will be in heaven because today I've decided to pray? I'm going to pray if I never preach again. I'm going to pray if I pray till I don't have any vocal cords and I have to tell Pastor I'm sorry. I can't be in the spotlight on Sunday morning. I've got no vocal cords left. I'm praying. Prayer. What an opportunity to miss the mess. Prayer. What an opportunity for my sister to jump out of a hospital bed and say, I'm healed to the glory of God. Prayer. What an opportunity for your financial need to be met. Prayer. What an opportunity for our church houses to overflow with the happy, singing hearts of those who've been ransomed and redeemed from walking the streets as a prostitute and shooting their veins full of drugs. Prayer. What an opportunity. I got to hurry. You ain't liking this anyway. Tell me your greatest pain and let me weep that I might have spared you. Allow me to tell you my greatest trial and weep that you might have spared me, and gird up your loins with prayer. Invade your prayer closet. Get the dust bunnies out from the floor of it. Clean the walls off and make sure the light fixture's fixed. God is sending a clarion call to you today. Get ready to get up at 3 a.m. and don't go to the refrigerator. Walk your hallways and pray. Get ready to have to give up your lunch on the job and stop sitting around the cafeteria listening to dirty jokes. God is about to get a hold of your heart and call you to prayer. Throw your hands up and tell him you're available. Throw your hands up and tell him I'll go. I'll pray. I'll open my mouth. I'll call on heaven. I'll grab hold of the horns of the altar. I'll not allow my children to look like some rock and roll floozy. I'll pray. I'll not lose my marriage. I've got an opportunity. I can pray. I'll not lose my job. I've got an opportunity. I can pray. Devil, you better get ready your most deadening blow if you think you're going to stop me, because I've heard the call to pray.
Hey, you want to hurry? I said, do you want to hurry? Touch somebody and say, I'm sorry. I could have spared you the pain. Turn around and tell somebody else, forgive me. I could have prayed. I'm sorry you had to go through that. I'm sorry you had to face that. I'm sorry you had to walk through that. I'm sorry for your sleepless days and sleepless nights. I'm sorry for your turning and your tossing on your bed. I'm sorry, but because I'm going to get your name on my heart and call it before the throne of God in prayer. Be seated. Shout, miss the mess. 1 John chapter 3, quickly. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm wanting to get in this. 1 John chapter 3. Look at it. Verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Watch. Sin is not the absence of the law, but the breaking of the law. I want to slow down right here, but the clock is ticking. Sin is, watch me. Sin, prayerlessness is
missing the mark by breaking the law. Lust, sin's basis is lust. Lust is not evil. Jesus declared, I lust that I may eat the Passover with you. Lust is passion. Lust is desire. Lust is intention. Something good is presented to you. Being drunk is good. Take my word for it. Being drunk is good. I'm talking about in the spirit. It has a counterpart in the natural. Some of the similarities are very stark. When an old boy sitting on a bar stool gets drunk, all the ladies look good at closing time. And when you're drunk in the Holy Ghost, everybody looks good. You got no criticisms. Oh, God. When you're drunk, if you need to undergo some type of medical procedure and they don't have any anesthetic, they could get you drunk. Why? So you wouldn't feel the pain. Let me correct it. You actually still feel the pain. You just don't care. And when you're drunk in the spirit, it doesn't mean you'll never face the fire. It just means you don't care. See. Sin is trying to fulfill a godly desire through an unlawful shortcut. God said, I'll get you there. The way to get there is pray. I want prosperity. Pray. I want victory. Pray. You'll do everything but pray. You'll go to the seminar and the whole nar and the in-between nar. You'll spend good money on bad books by some guy who hasn't ever done anything but gotten rich telling other people how to get rich. You're not in this building with me. Pray. You want victory over devils? Stop running to every meeting in the world and letting everything that has reverend in front of its name slap hands on you and scream. Pray. Oh God, I'm preaching. I'm preaching in here. Ah. Watch me. When you stand before God, you may have a tendency to quote these little chivalrous of tradition. You may be willing to tell God that I fell. No? I fell into sin. Just walking along and just... In other words, watch. You're trying to deny your responsibility. You did not fall into prayerlessness. You practiced being prayerless. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. But you practice prayerlessness. I wish I had some joy. Looking for joy in all the wrong places. Turn around. Hit the power button on your remote and hit the power button on your knees. Start to pray. Start to pray. And you won't get mad because it's summer reruns, because God don't never have a rerun. In his presence, there's joy. You're seeking to fulfill a godly desire in an unlawful manner. God, I don't know if you deserve this. Pray. I fell into sin. Wrong. You built a high dive out of toothpicks. Dug a swimming pool with a teaspoon. Filled it up with a thimble. Climbed to the top and dove in. You prepared. But let's not linger there. Come on, come on. Come on, come on. Come on into your future. Come into a place where the boss walks in with a raise. Not because you tried to manipulate your way into it, but because you pray. Oh! I've seen young women lose their anointings, lose their ministry in pursuit of a mate. He's over here. No, he's over here. He's over here. No, he's over there. And end up with something that was less than God's will. While I've seen others stand, having done all to stand, willing to miss the right one rather than end up with the wrong one, I've seen people stand and say, this is my ministry. My ministry is prayer. And all of a sudden, like a ripe cherry dropping out of heaven, whoo, there he is. I'm not playing. I'm not playing. You seek God, he'll seek your mate. You seek God, he'll seek your fortune. You seek God, he'll seek your future. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh. Oh. But there are two types of sin. You see, the Bible commands pray without ceasing. The Bible commands praying always with all manner of prayer and entreaty in the Spirit for all the saints. These are commands. They are not optional. They are not flexible. Right? Oh, we all understand this type of prayer, this type of sin. It can be summed up in a very simple word. To know it's wrong and to do it, that is sin. Ah, but there's a sneakier form. Yeah. Yeah, it's over here. Verse 17 of James chapter 3. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James chapter 4. Verse 17, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. To him that knoweth to pray, and doeth it not, to him prayerlessness is sin. I cannot escape my responsibility. Neglect surely has a penalty. And though I may not have committed the outright sin, did my prayer stop any? For to know it is wrong and to do it anyway is sin. But to know to pray and to pray not is equal. Do you love me? I hear you say, I'm not receiving that condemnation. You don't understand the difference in condemnation and conviction. If it's 5 minutes, it'll be a home run for some of you. Pray. Pray. I will give you a sneak preview. Why is prayerlessness such a sin? Because it makes the cross despised. Because you see, it was that cross that was the price of access to God. Oh, hear me say this. The veil in the temple rent 4 inches thick, woven without seam, torn in the fury of the flaring nostrils of an angry God, rent defiant at the separation between him and you. Do you understand? He suffered. He bled. He died. He was whipped, beaten, kicked and prodded, embarrassed and humiliated for one reason. So that you could go to God. And you says to him, wheezing and bleeding on a cruel beam, you're doing this for nothing. Oh, some have found the price. Found they need no temple for access, no shrine, no emblem. Mark the earth and see the temples of prayer in David's cedar galleries or in Gethsemane under the full light of a Passover moon. In an upper room, access. the hospital room. Your infant child, there, access in an instant, in a moment, in a breath, in a word, in a thought, in a sigh, in a cry, in a tear, in a church, on the road, at your desk at work. Doctor's examining room. Access. At your coffee table. Access. Walking the floor at night. Access. In a foxhole. In a rice paddy. In Vietnam. In the turbulence of a storm at 40,000 feet. Access. The heights of the heavens. Access. In the depths of despair. Access. Call unto me. You need no priest. No penance. No shrine, no temple. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever your situation, whatever your circumstances, he's there, waiting, saying, I can help you with that. Call on me. I can stay the hand of your adversary. My name in prayer. I could wipe the blindness from your mother's eyes. Pray. I could free you from your sin on a bar stool because of access. You're in a shrine. Baseball field. You're in a temple. And you have access to the King. You are either the benefactor or the casualty of neglect. Your children are the benefactors of prayer, or they are the casualties of its neglect. Our church is either the benefactor of prayer or the casualty of its neglect. Our city is either the benefactor of prayer or the casualty of its neglect. I see men, God bless their hearts, and I agree with them and take nothing from them. But I see pastors humbly asking the Columbus City Council not to use our tax dollars to give homosexuals marital status for health benefits of city dollars. I wonder why don't we pray? How soon we forget 9/11, there was a door left open. we weren't praying. I close with this one thought. Your Bible says men ought always to pray and not to faint. Let me paraphrase it for you. Men ought always to pray and miss the mess. Stand with me. I'm not real sure if you're clapping because you got something, or you're glad it's over. Right there where you are. Access to God. Thank you, Father. Access in a word, in a thought. Turn Godward. Oh, Jesus. We used to sing an old song. Words were along these lines. I come to the garden alone, while the dew still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me. It tells me I am his own, and the joy that we share as we tarry right there, none other has ever, ever known. Lord God, make us a people of prayer. Oh, what an opportunity to miss the mess. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't you feel him? He's right here. Never be guilty of saying there's nothing left to do but pray. Oh, the only thing to do is pray. Just pray. Just pray.